right, let's go ahead and simmer down a little bit here. We got a couple more talks before the business meeting. All right, Kelly's going to go ahead and talk about some subsurface drainage, tiling, and soybean grain yield.
Just right there, if you need the mounts. It takes a little while to get it going.
Okay.
And then just tab down. Yep.
We started work on a clay pan soil back in around 2001. These soils have a clay layer about 24 inches below the soil surface. It's about as impermeable as the floor you're standing on. And then we have a fairly permeable silt loam above that. There was some modeling work done back in the early 80s on this soil type. It's down in southern Illinois. It's on a Cisney silt loam. At that point in time, they estimated that the optimal drain tile spacing would be about 6.1 meters or about 20 feet for the soil type, not only for drainage, but also drainage plus sub-irrigation. And that's where they're putting water back through these tile lines for irrigation purposes. Now, drainage was the main factor that affected the drain tile spacing on this soil type. And in 1980, they considered it... It may not be economically feasible for such a narrow spacing because you could buy more ground for less than what you could tile ground at that type of spacing. Okay. We installed a site in 2001, as you can see down in the bottom part of this picture. Okay, it's about a 20-acre site where we had corn and soybeans set up. We set it up so our drainage water drained to the top of the page, as your slide you can see in that. And there was an existing lake. We had about an 8-9 acre lake that served as a reservoir, a catch basin for that water. We then would pump water out of that lake and for sub-irrigation purposes. And basically, we had a semi-closed-loop system because if we were losing any phosphorus or any nitrogen, it was going down into our water resource, and then we were utilizing that as an irrigation water resource as well. We published quite a bit of stuff on this work, but today we're kind of consolidating that into looking at variability above and between those drain tiles. We do have a poster looking at this site, the corn portion of this work. It summarizes 42-year by hybrid by nitrogen management systems. Okay, so you add that up. We had subplots in there, so that's why you end up with that number of different year hybrid nitrogen management systems. Anyway, our objective was to evaluate soybean grain yields, plant populations, heights. Above the drain tile, it'd be at 0 meters, and then 3.05 meter distances from the subsurface drain tiles. And our drain tiles were installed at 6.1 and 12.2 meter spacings. First question out of farmer's mouth is going to be, well, what if I go to a little wider spacing? So why not just double it? And that's where we ended up with a 20 or 40 foot spacing, basically. We were evaluating these spacings for not only drainage, but drainage plus sub-irrigation, and we compared those to a non-drained or a non-drained delayed planting control. Okay, it's often in drainage studies, they wait until you can plant your non-drained control. Well, you can get into some confounding effects when you get into planting dates and that type of design. So it was set up as a split plot design. The main plot was drainage or drainage plus sub-irrigation. The subplot was drain tile spacing, and then we have over here subplots. There were years where we evaluated various different soybean cultivars. We also had fungicide management systems out there, and that resulted in about 30-year cultivar by management system comparisons, okay, that we're going to try to summarize here today in not very much time. So we had high-yielding cultivars, we had 2 years of fungicide management systems, it was no-till for 24 of the 30-year by cultivar management systems, planting dates usually the third week of May. On average, our non-drained delayed planting was planted about 2 days after the after our drained treatments. Okay, row spacing ranged from 7.5 to 15-inch spacing. Seeding rate averaged 470,000 seeds per hectare. Sub-irrigation was generally operated from late June to September. We maintain a constant water table in that soil profile. Okay. So here's a figure looking at how we accomplished this variability evaluation. So above the drain tile, as you can see down the bottom left-hand corner, this would be 0 meters. We move over 3.5 meters, and then between the drain tiles, this would be on a 40-foot spacing, okay? And then as we get closer to the next drain tile, okay? Figures are going to be set up in a similar manner that you see here today. Along the vertical axis, you're looking at yield. Okay, the yellow bar right here, okay, represents the average of the above the drain tile and then between that drain tile for a 6 meter spacing or a 10 foot spacing. You move over to the other yellow bar, that's drainage plus sub-irrigation again at a 20 foot spacing or a 6 meter spacing, okay. And then we're looking at a 40-foot spacing or a 12-meter spacing represented by drainage only in the blue here, and then drainage plus sub-irrigation represented by the blue over on your right. The red represents our non-drained or the non-drained delayed planting controls. The boxes, obviously you guys know what a box plot is, but 50% of the data is represented by the box, 95% of the data is represented by the whiskers. The median is represented by the dotted line, and then the asterisk represents our average, okay? The letters above represent the mean separation for the different drain tile spacings, okay? So it's rather complicated. They're all set up the same, so let's cruise through this baby. So as you can see, as we move with drainage by itself, as we move a little bit away from that drain tile, we're actually increasing yield slightly, okay? Something I did not expect. But as we move from into our drainage plus sub-irrigation, you see as we move above that drain tile compared to between those drain tiles, it tapers off, which is obvious. We're feeding water back through above that drain tile, and you can see the amount of relative lateral flow that we see from that drain tile at that type of spacing. On average, we're increasing yield over 20% for just drainage by itself, about 23% with drainage plus sub-irrigation. Okay, and that's all the data combined, the 30-year by cultivar management systems. Look at plant population. Okay, plant population actually increased slightly, okay, as we moved away from those drain tiles, not only for drainage, but also drainage plus sub-irrigation. But if you look clear over here, I know that there are significant differences, but yield-wise, it probably doesn't make a lot depending upon the year that we're looking at. But we are seeing an increase in plant population when compared to with our drainage and sub-irrigation systems compared to our non-drained or non-drained control, delayed planting controls. A lot of that goes back to water in the spring. These soils typically have a perch water table from about late September, October, until about mid-May, okay? And soybeans, you know, really don't like wet feet. Anyway, so let's we looked at also heights, okay? Not a lot of differences in heights, except for when you get over here to the sub-irrigation treatments. Obviously, you feed a little water to those beans. They get a little taller above the drain tiles, okay, especially where we're putting water back into them. And then it tapers off quite a bit as we move away from those. A lot of that height, again, when compared to that non-drained or non-drained delayed planting, we just provided a better environment for root development, and they thrive a little bit better as a result of removing that water. So here's a good illustration of above the drain tile. Okay, you can see this would be in 05. You take your pick on the drought. 5, 12, it does the same thing. And you can, as you move away from that drain tile, it tapers off quite a bit. This would be like a 40-foot spacing, okay? And anyway. So if you break that down into high-yield environments and kind of low-yield environments, we have about 17 of the year by cultivar, by management treatments represented by a low-yield environment. I'm just going to skip populations and go to yield for the sake of time. Again, we see this slight increase as we move away from the drain tile, okay? And then for sub-irrigation systems, okay, allow this as interacting with wet conditions, okay? Low-yielding environments, you know, usually we're having a wet year that year anyway, and probably need to be more aggressive in managing that, okay, and making sure it's maintained into drainage mode for a longer period of time. Obviously, an increase in yield. A lot of this variability that we're seeing here, again, goes back to wet years, dry years. Probably this high part of this this yield was during a extremely dry year, which pulls it up significantly higher than our non-drain treatments. Let's look at a higher yield environment. 50 bushels was pretty much our cut off between the low yield and if we were greater than 50 bushels, again, where we have good drainage, we're boosting yields significantly over our non-drains. We are still seeing an improvement in yield with our sub-irrigation in those, but obviously it tapers off a little bit as we move from above that drain tile to between those drain tiles. In summary, the variability of plant populations, heights, grain yields was affected, spatially by the distance from the drain tiles. Drainage plus sub-irrigation treatments increased our yield compared to our non-drain controls consistently over the years. Averaged over the 30-year by cultivar, by management treatment comparisons, our highest yields were observed above the 6.1-meter drainage plus sub-irrigation drain tile. Drainage plus sub-irrigation at a 6.1-meter spacing increased yields greater than 20% when compared to our non-drain controls. In the low-yield environments, plant populations were generally greatest between the drain tiles, and then yields were greatest between the drain tiles for drainage by itself. But above the drain tiles, it was greatest when we were looking at drainage plus sub-irrigation systems. In our high-yield environments, plant populations were generally greatest between the 6.1 or 12.2-meter drain tile spacings, while yields were greatest above the drain tiles. So a narrower drain tile spacing may be needed on these soil types to reduce our yield variability even more for drainage plus sub-irrigation, but obviously the cost effectiveness of these systems needs to be determined. Okay. Any questions?
Let's go ahead and thank him, Bill. We do have time for questions.
Yes, sir.
So I'm looking at your third bullet there. It said you had highest yields above the drain tile at 6.1. I thought the data showed that you're directly above that drain tile. You actually had slightly lower yield, yet slightly improved yield between the tiles. Is that right?
That's with a drainage plus sub-irrigation.
Oh,
if you look at the third. Without sub-irrigation, you're actually looking at a little higher yield between. You're correct, yes.
So you actually have improved yields when you were slightly away from that drain tile.
Correct.
Meaning that drain tile pulled a little bit of that early season water away that you could have utilized later, is that right?
It probably could have. The other thing is we have to think about corn in rotation with this too. So there's a dramatic impact of these systems on corn yields, okay? And I need to probably go back and look at nutrient levels and some issues there. With our drainage and sub-irrigation systems on corn, we're looking at over a 45% increase in yields on average compared to our non-drains, okay? And I think there's some spatial variability that, you know, when it comes to those things that, I just complicated things big time, but soybeans are, you know, when it comes to managing water, I can't manage them quite like I do on corn, too. And I think that's been one of our challenges is that we've been managing it more like a corn crop than soybeans, so to speak. So,
all right, thank you, Kelly.
Thanks.